we look at some passages out of Scripture this evening, because God has a way, since He is eternal, He's not bound by history, and He's not bound by the future. But He speaks to us from a historical perspective to remind us of His longevity, as well as what is important and what is beneficial to us, to humanity. I don't know about you, but I remember becoming a member of the church about 100 years ago. And I remember how ministers and others that were reading Scripture would read from Genesis and from Exodus and some of the other places, Numbers, and they'll read about the different genealogies, the generations of Adam, the generations of, and I remember that, I remember thinking to myself, I didn't say it out loud because I don't want to be ruled as a heretic, but I'm going, what is the purpose of all of them names that nobody can pronounce? When you're reading Scripture, I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say what my favorite Scripture is, are the generations of Abraham, or Jaleel, or John 3:16, you know, those passages. But I believe that God puts things in His Word that's beneficial for us. And it becomes our challenge, if you will, to dig into that and begin to have an understanding as to why God put it there and the benefit of it. As soon as Scripture starts in Genesis chapter 1, just three chapters later in Genesis chapter 4, we hear about the generation of Adam. God starts off right away reminding those that would be reading this book later on about how Adam begat Abel and Abel. You get the idea. Right off the bat, the genealogy, if you will, of the faithful of God is recorded. As you go through Scripture, you begin to understand the chronological aspect of it, because in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, you begin to see that it is during this time, if you will, that men began to call on the name of the Lord. Here's a passage that really can allow us, in a historical perspective, put our finger on when folks start praying to God. And so, but it's all in the context, if you will, of the genealogy that God has laid out because of this particular wonderful aspect, and that is the genealogical strand that goes all the way from Adam down to Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 32, here's a genealogy from Adam down to Moses, to Noah. Here is Moses' way, if you will, of chronicling the idea of the faithfulness of God's people. So as you look back at the genealogy, what you see is there is a long tenure, if you will, of those individuals that have gone before you with a like faith. The kind of faith that we've talked about that is worth being passed on to the next generation. That's the beautiful thought about this. You don't have to go through many cemeteries, but if you ever get a chance to go to the All International Cemetery in Washington, D.C., just walk through there. It's amazing how all of those tombstones are lined up, but start reading some of the names on those tombstones. And you walk out of there with your chest sticking out, because you'll see some died just not too long ago from our conflict in Afghanistan and some other places, but there'll be some that are there back from the Civil War. In fact, the historical perspective of All International Cemetery is that we're losing so many soldiers in the Civil War that the secretary actually commandeered the land of Robert E. Lee and used that as a burial place for veterans or folk that lost their lives in the war. So it's a cosmopolitan aspect of the blessing, if you will, of men and women that lost their lives for the sake of this country. And you cannot but be encouraged, if you will, so far as the history of our country, looking at the various memorials, the various grave sites, if you will, in our international cemetery. We have something like that. And as we look at the genealogical database, if you will, that God has laid out, you and I are privileged to be a part of that lineage. Our faith is what ties back to that. Because all of these individuals, they lived at different times, they did different things, but they all have a like faith like you and I have, and the kind of faith that we're working to pass on to the next generation. That's what we're talking about this evening. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 4, the wise man Solomon says, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. We have to date, if you will, our human experience, because you and I are just here for a moment and we'll be going on. But God makes a particular habit of recording our presence, because you and I now can be encouraged because of the fact that somebody went before me, but they were faithful. And so their lesson tells me that I and my generation can be faithful, but I need to realize that my generation is going to pass on also, and that we have hope now for the next generation. That's the concept that I'm working to lay out tonight. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, our brother Matthew starts off his gospel with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And so we begin to see the historical value and the importance, if you will, of making sure we have the genealogy and understanding. We know from history that the Old Testament, one of the reasons, well, four reasons really, that the genealogies were stated is because it helped with the succession to the throne. If God gives a throne to David, the next person that comes to that throne has to be able to trace the genealogy, if you will, up to David. That's one reason. Another reason is that the high priesthood, Ezra chapter 2 and other places, the high priest, you just can't walk in and say, I'm a high priest. And that I will remind you that here's a reason why those that are saying we need to go back under the old covenant, back under the new Old Testament, you might want to keep in mind that if you could go back under the old covenant, Jesus can't be your high priest. Because he doesn't qualify because of the genealogy. The high priest was given to Aaron and the descendants. Jesus didn't come out of the tribe of Levi. He came out of the tribe of Judah. He cannot be your high priest. He doesn't qualify. And so the reality of it is that be careful what you ask for. If you go back, and this is Paul's point in Hebrews, if you could go back, then you are crucifying him afresh. You know why? Because God's plan is to send Jesus. And so if you could somehow go back in time 3,000 years ago and actually live under the old law, guess what? God is still having to send Jesus to die. Because that's how God is going to save us. And so you learn from the Old Testament, but you can't go back to it. Because, again, God has a game plan that is different than what you might have in your mind. I want to throw out three things tonight. So for us, when we look back at the genealogy, I've entitled the lesson simply, Lessons from the Genealogy. Just a thought here. Again, I won't keep you long. I know you got the meat seasoning at the house, and the watermelon is on ice and all of that. So we got until tomorrow, right? So, okay, all right. What's some of the lessons that we can learn from the genealogical record of the Old Testament and New Testament as well? Number one, our faith, the faith that you and I are striving to pass on to the next generation, this faith is planted in history. Our faith, your faith, my faith, it is planted in the past. You and I didn't go down to the mailbox and pick up a current copy of faith. It existed in faithful people long before you and I came to America. The faith that you and I have, we can go back and look in time where that faith existed all along the line of humanity. I don't know about you, but that's very helpful. If you have an old piece of relic around the house, maybe an old Bible or coin or whatever the case might be, you can look at that, say it came from 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and just holding that particular instrument, that item in your hand, you are now in touch with history. It doesn't make it maybe valuable or whatever, but it is significant because somebody 100 years ago held the same thing. It touches our history. What a wonderful thought. When we look at our faith, it touches history. We're not coming up with something new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And so the faith that you and I have existed in past days. We are not discovering something new. Men and women that have sought to please God espouse the same faith that you and I are espousing today. It is set in history. Timothy, he has a faith, but that faith was passed on to him, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, by his mother Eunice. But Mama got her faith, was passed on by her mother, a woman by the name of Lois. And I would imagine that Lois got, but Paul stops there just to show that the faith that is currently existing in Timothy was passed on. What encouragement that is to us, brethren, is that you and I now have the capacity to pass on our faith to the next generation. We can actually provide something that has been provided to us that was provided way back in history, and that is the reality of a faith that is planted in history. Hebrews chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, flip over there. I need to quote some scripture because otherwise you think the sermon is about Memorial Day. Hebrews chapter 11. Watch this. God's hall of faith. He says in Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith, he gives the context, is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for. So within faith, we have hope, we have confidence, the kind of faith we're talking about that's passed on the generation to generation. For the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtain a good report. They had witness born to them, is the idea. Verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Our brother says, let me tell you something about faith. You might have evolution. It's a wonderful theory, you know, if you deal in fantasy. But the reality, yeah, I missed that, okay. But the reality of it is nobody was there when the world got created. Were you there? Those of us that have faith, what we know, based on our God, based on the historical aspect of God, that he created the earth out of nothing. Amen. And oh, by the way, when he created it, it was already well established. And so if you go now and do some kind of a carbon testing on the earth, it might show to be 12 billion years old because God made it whole. But he didn't use particles hanging around out here in the air. He didn't use amoebas coming out of a cesspool or slime pool. God spoke, and nothing came something. That's faith. That's the faith that you and I count on. That's the kind of faith we're talking about here in Hebrews chapter 11. And now he goes on and gives some examples of the kind of faith that is resting in history. Abel. Faithful. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, is still talking. By faith. How about Enoch? Here's a fella who was translated. He went out for a walk one afternoon and didn't come back. He just, next thing you know, we don't know where he is. He's gone. That's the idea. That's Ben's interpretation here. Without faith, he says, it's impossible to please God. You know what it is in chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, but now I'm telling you, without it, you can't please God. That's the historical faith that you and I see from the lessons from genealogy. He goes on, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, all of these great individuals are resting in history, but they demonstrate the kind of faith that you and I have today. The kind of faith that we want to also pass on to the next generation. So the kind of faith that we learn from the lessons of genealogy is that it is a faith that is planted in history. I love this country. I love this church. And it is the historical aspect of both of those that are connected to the past. This nation was born by many, many sacrifices and much pain, if you will. This congregation was born by the same thing, from Willowdale over to Hamilton Park, over to Greenville Avenue. And if you don't appreciate the history, you might think it is a passing fancy. But no, this congregation, as well as our nation, is something that is steeped and seated and planted, if you will, in history itself. And that's something that's beneficial for us. Romans chapter 4, verse number 1, Abraham, our father. Abraham is the father of the faith, but he's in history. But what do we know about Abraham? Abraham believed God, and that belief was translated to be justification. That's the kind of faith that you and I have, and that faith has been planted already in history. Last thought along this line, that is Psalm 37, verse 25. Patrick mentioned that this morning. I've been young, and I've been old. But two things I can observe. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. That doesn't mean that he didn't get hungry and that he didn't have a hard time, but he is able to stand. Why? Because of that faith that was planted in history, so far as mankind is concerned. Abraham, we pass on, brethren, this kind of faith that is time-tested. We're not passing on to the next generation something that is fragile, something that's going to dissipate with the first rain that comes in, the first cool weather comes in, it's not going to freeze and fall apart. No, what we're passing on is the same kind of faith that Abraham had, the one that will cause him to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go out to a place that he does not know where. It doesn't call on him to disregard his parents and all of that. He still took Terah with him, but Abraham believed in God. That's our faith that is planted in history. Number two, not only is this faith planted in history in the past, our faith has potential for the future. Our faith. There's a few interesting passages in Scripture. If you read them, and just think along this line. In Genesis 46, verse 33, look at the futuristic nature of that passage. In fact, if you have your Bible, flip over there real quick. Genesis 46, excuse me, in verse number 33. Here we have something, watch the wording, if you will, of this particular passage, Genesis 46 and verse number 33. Excuse me. If I can find it. And it shall come to pass. Now watch the wording. And it shall come to pass. That means that what we're reading in verse 33 has not happened yet. Okay, it shall come to pass. When Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye should say, shall say, thy servant's trade has been about cattle on our youth even until now. God is preparing Abraham to respond to Pharaoh. But he prepares him based upon Abraham's faith. And Abraham's faith has the kind of potential for future blessings. His response is going to be a blessing to him in his relationship to Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 12, verse number 23. Leviticus 14, tons of passages. When you see the blood, the angel is going to pass over. When the blood is sprinkled, now no blood is sprinkled yet. When it is sprinkled, when the death angel comes, the death angel will pass over you. Our faith, the kind of faith that's seated in history, is also the kind of faith that has potential for blessings in the future. When we listen to God, when we obey God, you and I have the same assurance, the same confidence, if you will, that these men and women of faith that has gone on before that they had. We have blessed. We're not living just with an old-time faith. We're living with a faith that has future possibilities. You want to fix your house? You want to change your reputation? You want to be a life with a good reputation and a good history? And though you come out of something that's not that necessarily good, by faith, you and I have great possibilities. You've seen it in your life. You've seen it in the lives of others. Here's somebody that weren't worth two dead flies, and now they're worth more gold than in Fort Knox because they trusted God, and God changed their lives. Come out of all kinds of homes. Is there any hope for us? The reality of it is, faith says, if I have the kind of faith that Abraham has or had, then there are great possibilities. So the faith that we want to pass on to our young people, to the next generation, is not the kind of faith that is just set in history, but also the kind of faith that you can take as you get older and as your generation begins to pass by. That's the idea. That's the point I'm trying to make this tonight. So this faith, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2, we have all of these wonderful things, but the point being is that this faith is presently where we have it, and also it reaches into the future. What a concept. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 22. So that the generation of your children shall rise up after you. So here in Deuteronomy 29, 22, we begin to see that Moses is saying that the faith that you guys are, are exhibiting, pass it on to the next generation. And that generation will be blessed, and they can pass it on to the next generation. What a wonderful concept. You and I might not be able to leave our young people, our children, a lot. Wouldn't it be nice if you could write a blank check and just whatever they want, you know, wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, yeah, you can leave a blank check. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. You might not have an old vintage T-model Ford that you can pass on. You might not have some saving bonds that go back to the Civil War that you can pass on. You might not even have any of those lime green walking suits with the platform shoes that you can pass on to the next generation. Because you might. But what you and I do have is this faith that we can give to our next generation that is able to produce possibilities in the future. We don't know where we're going, don't know as a congregation, as a nation, as a people. But one thing we do know, that if we espouse the kind of faith that Abraham had, we can go into the future with confidence, knowing that we have the faith that will sustain us even tomorrow. That's the concept. So from the genealogy, we learn, if you will, that faith has the potential for future blessings. That's the kind of faith we want to pass on, is it not true? That's the kind of faith. Last, third thought, and the lesson is yours. Not only faith that is founded, is positioned, is set in the old time, in history, not only is a lesson for future possibilities, but thirdly, our faith has power for the present. What a wonderful God. He's able to, just with this one concept of faith, tap into the three time zones that you and I have. The past, the present, and also the future. That's our time zones. If you and I deal too much in the past, be careful, because you're going to be espousing depression. Because the past, you can't fix it. And if you think about some of those depressive moments you've gone through, where were you thinking? I wish I had not done something yesterday. And worrying about it, did it fix it? Nah, it's still there. You know, I shouldn't have washed my car yesterday because it rained last night. You got a rained on car? The only thing we can do about the past, I'm just a little psycho mumbo jumbo here. The only thing we can do about the past is learn from it. Things written aforetime, Romans 15, was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. And so, but God deals with us in the past because he understands that you and I have history. Some of us can't reach because our hands have been slapped so much that we think it's going to hurt if we reach out for the future. But that's in the past. But you and I also deal in the future. You might be sitting here right now, got a graduation coming up on June 9th or June the 12th, and so somebody asked for prayer this morning. They hope they pass so they can graduate, you know, in the future. If you dwell too long in the future, guess what's going to happen? Anxiety. You're going to be tighter than a drum because you're anticipating something that might happen, but it might not. And so you and I are housed in these different time zones. We're tempted to go back into the past and be overwhelmed with my powerlessness there because I can't do anything about it. Or you and I can go into the future and we'd be overwhelmed with anxiety because we can't do nothing about that either. The only place you and I can do something is in that third time zone, and that's right now. Present. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Not don't harden them yesterday or don't harden them tomorrow. No, right now, because you don't have yesterday and you don't have tomorrow. All we have is right now. Don't harden your heart. Except the word of God is the idea. So power for the present. Couple of thoughts here. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 2, our brother Paul writes, we have access by faith into this grace. You and I right now, the kind of faith that Abraham had, you and I have access into the grace of God by the same kind of faith. And the kind of faith that Jesus talks about in the book of Revelation with the idea of all of these, this great general and king coming in, you and I have the same kind of access by faith into that. It is our faith that gives us power right now. You know, sometimes you talk in Bible class this morning about this concept of we call floating. It used to be called floating. It's called a bad check today. But, you know, you used to go write a check, and mamas and dads, you might have to explain to your young people. You used to go write a check on and if the bill was due on the first, you take it down and put it in the safe in the deposit box. You paid by the first. Even though you're not going to get paid until Friday. We call that floating. So you wrote a check. It's not a good check. No matter how you stretch it, you ain't got the money in there. But you're hoping that this thing will float to Friday. And one of the things about this modern technology, there's no such thing as floating. I'm here to tell you, right? You give somebody a check, and they'll just swipe their mobile phone over it, and that thing just hit your bank. No such thing as floating. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had the capacity to presently tap into the same kind of faith that Abraham, our father in the faith, had access to? Paul says you do. Presently, in Abraham's day, let me tell you what that kind of faith did for him. It allowed him to move out of Ur of the Chaldees over to a place that he had no idea where he was going. You and I have the same power today. We need to move from where we are to where God wants us to be. And sometimes it can be traumatic because that's a big change. I'm having to change my reputation. And that's a long move. That's a move further than Ur of the Chaldees over to Haran. But the reality of it is that kind of faith allowed Abraham to move. And if Abraham can move with that kind of faith in his present day, you and I have the same power to move and change our lives today. Does that make sense tonight? We're talking about power for the present. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God doesn't want our current faith, the faith that we're going to pass on to the next generation, to rest with our wisdom, our power, but with his power. That's what made Abraham's faith so powerful. That's what makes the next generation's faith so powerful, is because it's leaning upon the power of God and not upon our wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Quit ye like men, stand fast in the faith. You and I have the kind of faith that we can stand fast in. Oh, the winds might blow, but we're on solid foundation. That's the idea that Paul talks about. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Striving together for the faith. We have a faith that can be striven for. You and I have a faith that we can wrestle with. Isn't it wonderful? It's not about just reading this and all of a sudden automatic. No, we can strive. You and I can grow. God can develop us with our current faith because of the power of God and the power of our faith. I'll tell you something about this faith. Jude says, verse number 3, that it was once delivered. That Amazon thing that you ordered, and they try to make a delivery once, they don't get you. They might come back. But the kind of faith that you and I have, based on the word of God, it was just delivered one time. Just one time. So this common faith that we have, it's seeding, if you will, in the past with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It also has the potential for the future as we look forward into glory. but it also have power for right now. That's the faith we wanted to pass on to the next generation. Probably used this illustration before, but it shows me how there is power in just the word of God, just when the word of God is read. The story goes, probably true, but it said it was this fellow married to a wonderful sister in Christ. And she went to church, worshiped God, gave as God has prospered her consistently for their many, many years of marriage. But he was, like Peter talks about in 1 Peter 3, verse number 1, he didn't fear God, didn't obey God, so he was kind of one of those, okay? But she went every Sunday. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, she was faithful, learning the word of God. She prayed, God, please open up his heart. I know he's a hard-headed fellow. I know he is. I still love him. But please open up his heart. So all of a sudden, one day, out of nowhere, she gets up to get dressed to go to church. He gets up and starts putting on his clothes. And she thought he was going to go down to the tavern or down to the lottery or something like that. But he put on his tie. And she was thinking, well, he doesn't wear the tie down to the club, so he, what's going on here? He must have a girlfriend someplace. But he got dressed. And as she was about to kiss him goodbye to go to church, he said, honey, I'm going to go with you. And after she passed out for about 30 minutes, I'm not just kidding. she said, I'm sorry? He said, yeah, I want to go to church with you today. So he went to church. And boy, she was on pins and needles for the entire time. And she was praying all the while, Lord, please let this be a good experience for my husband. I want him to be in your body so bad. Just Father, help. And so all of a sudden they had scripture reading. And the fellow got up to read scripture, and he chose reading some of the genealogy. Abraham begat, and he died. Jacob begat, and he died. And she's, oh, Lord, have mercy. Out of all the days, you mean to tell me you can't find another passage in the Bible except who reads the genealogy for the scripture reading? But he drove home, and it was raining like cats and dogs, and the windshield wipers are just, and she didn't say a word because she's, I'm so embarrassed. All these years I've been praying and asking, you know how you do, you say, oh Lord, why didn't they read John 3:16? Why didn't they read? But she sat over there quiet, and he didn't say anything either. And she's going, he is so upset, he's so mad, he's so ticked off, he will never in the next 40 years ever go to church again. He got home. She got out of her clothes, got comfortable, made a little snack for them, and he was pacing the house. And she said, finally, honey, are you okay? And he said to her, sweetheart, do you have the preacher's number for me to call? And she goes, oh, Lord, he's going to call the preacher and give him a he's going to meet the preacher somewhere and beat him up. I mean, yeah, just all kinds of thoughts. And she said, yeah. She said, why? He said, when that fellow read the scripture, it convicted me so deeply. And she said, say what? He said, because it just kept with me. He said, as we were driving home, the windshield wipers were going, and he died, and he died, and he died. Now, I'm not saying tonight that when you read the genealogy, you're going to be converted. But that just goes to show the power of the word of God that produced our faith that we wanted to pass over to the next generation. It is planted in history, it has power in the present, and it also has potential for the future. If you're subject to heaven's invitation tonight, hear the wonderful news about a loving God that loves us in the past, in the present, and will love us in the future. This God did what was necessary so that you and I can be in his presence forever. Hear the wonderful gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess the great name. Yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I just like saying that. He is God Almighty, wrapped in flesh, shed his blood, even though God doesn't have blood to shed. That's who he is. And it is the wisdom of God that allowed this to take place. I want to trust faith in that than anything you and I can do on our own. Hear the gospel. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, trust in him going down in the water river baptism, allow his precious blood to wash all your sins away. If you're subject to heaven's invitation in any way, won't you please come while we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Would you be free from the burden of sin?
Well, there's
power in the blood.
Present power.
Power in the blood. And would you or evil a victory
God bless you. God bless you.
Win? There's wonderful power in the blood. And there is power, oh, wondrous working power in the blood.
In the blood.
And pride, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleanse
to Calvary's
tide. There's wonderful power in the blood, and there is power, oh, wondrous working power in the blood.
I hope and pray as we celebrate tomorrow, doing whatever we're going to do, that we do take a moment to think about the rich contribution that those that have gone on before us have made to the nation that we live in. But I think even beyond that, every day, I hope we give some attention to the memorials that are set up in our faith of men like Abraham and women like Sarah, so we have it all around us, that we might realize how our faith, the faith that we currently possess, was planted in history, and it's able to sustain us right now and also take us into the future. May God bless you as each of us strive to do that kind of faith or have that kind of faith that we can now pass on to the next generation and leave the church not in the hand of the next generation, but in the hand of faithful folk going into the next generation. May God bless you. May God keep you. Thank you so much for your attentiveness. God bless you.